Well, good morning, everyone. Good afternoon, depending on your time zone. Today is the 26th of November 2014, and we're holding a webinar on the IANA stewardship transition. If you have access to the Adobe Room, you'll be able to see the slides that I'm going to run through. If you would like to ask a question at any time, you will see on the top there's a little man with a hand up. If you check the down arrow, you can raise your hand, and then I will see your hand is raised, and then we can come to you. But do make sure that you have your microphone on, effectively, for asking questions, and the microphone button should be highlighted also, just a couple of buttons to the left of the raised hands. This webinar is being recorded, and any questions that you may raise will be recorded as well, and will be publicly available. I think, well, I might have control of the slides. So let me just check that. Yes. So today's agenda is to run through the results of the survey and to give an update on the progress that the cross-community working group is making with respect to the IANA transition stewardship role that was announced by NTIA. So first of all, let me refer you to the results of the survey. The survey, I would like to specially thank Don Hollander for preparing the questions, Peter van Roster for making the survey work in terms of getting the flow correct, and Patrick Miles for setting up SurveyMonkey, which was the collection mechanism. I'm delighted to say that we were able to present the survey in multiple languages, French, Spanish, Arabic, Chinese, Korean, Russian, and of course English. We received replies in all languages, and we are using English as the base language. And when we take you to the IANA survey observation site, IANASO.org, you're able to translate the whole site into whichever language is applicable or you would like to. Most of the content will translate, but it is browser dependent. We received replies from over 100 CCs, to be precise, 108 CCs, and 7 IBN CCs, and I'm very grateful to you, all CCTLD managers who participated in the survey, because it is a very useful asset for us on the working group. We have removed any reference to any specific CCTLD, so you all comments were received and are anonymous, but the content is there for anyone to review. Just go to IANASO.org. You will see the executive summary, and if you wish to have access to the raw data, just give us your email address and we'll give you, by return, a login. And the username is your actual email address. Oh, hang on. So turning to the results of the survey, the first question was, relates to the structure of IANA, either within ICANN or outside of ICANN. The vast majority of respondents preferred to have ICANN involved in the IANA, running of the IANA, and to be precise, only 23% wanted to have it operated as an independent body. So the vast majority were wanting the IANA to be effectively within the ICANN organization, albeit they wanted functional separation. So in other words, the IANA team has its own budget, its own staff, and is firewalled from the general ICANN organization. The next question related to, I'm just going to bring up my slides because it's not working. The next question related to the oversight mechanism, and I'll go into a little more detail a little later on with respect to the way the oversight mechanism is sort of emerging. There were two aspects to that. One is the transactional oversight. In other words, when we as CC managers make name server updates and the like, who should, if anyone, approve those requests? Was there a need for external body to approve the requests? It was split more or less 50-50, yes and no. When we held our last webinar, it became clear that there was some confusion in that there was, amongst CC managers, a desire not to have an external body because the CC managers themselves wanted to have that transactional oversight. And of course, the CC managers themselves are external to ICANN. So question 5 and question 5A and 5B were confusing to the respondents. But overall, there was a distinction between transactional oversight, which subsequently we identified is best handled by the CC manager, and contractual oversight, and that is relating to how or who operates the IANA function, that possibly needs to have an oversight mechanism. And I'll go into more detail further on in this presentation. So with regard to who should be involved in the oversight mechanism with respect to the CC-TLD interests, it was fairly well split amongst the CCNSO, regional organizations, and individual CCTLDs. So that was quite helpful, but again, we'll go into more detail when we come to an update of the Frankfurt face-to-face meeting. Was it important to keep policymaking separate from the IANA functions contract? Overwhelming support for making sure that operations and policy are completely separate and outside of IANA. Who is the ultimate authority for entries in the IANA database? The overwhelming majority considered the TLD manager the party with ultimate authority with respect to the management of the TLD. If IANA does not perform well or abuses its position, should there be an opportunity for an independent and binding appeals process? Overwhelmingly, the answer was yes. Also, the matter of redress was brought up in the comments, which was quite interesting. As you know, at the moment, the GTLD community and the CCTLD community are considered one group, the naming communities group. And we asked the question, is that an accurate reflection of the community? And there was a desire that the CCTLD group was separate, was considered a separate group from the GTLD community. I have to say, in certain instances, that's a very valid position to hold, but there are some synergies between GTLDs and CCTLDs. So the majority of instances, indeed, there should be separation, but there are some occasions when we share similar concerns, particularly over the efficient operation of the IANA. What do you believe is the most appropriate forum to develop objective technical standards for the operation of the IANA function? If you do analysis on the stats in detail, you see there was overwhelming support for the IETF being the technical standards body for the IANA function. So the tests that are undertaken should be based on IETF standards and as used as a foundation for ensuring interoperability. I just see that Keith has asked a question, and I'll read the question out. It is in the chat room. Since there was strong support for functional separation of IANA, why did the CCTLD members of the CWG IANA in Frankfurt express opinions that this was not necessary? I will come to that question as part of the Frankfurt discussion, but I think at the moment all cards are on the table. We are trying to design a model where the accountability and the function, the way in which IANA functions, retains as much of the status quo as possible, but have a mechanism to ensure that if there is bad performance by IANA, that it is possible that we could retender the process. But I will come to that, and it is a very valid question based on the stats that we have received. Question 13, related to the automated service. The question was, should there be a fully more automated end-to-end update function without intervention by IANA staff for name server updates? And 74% said most definitely yes. For changes in admin and technical contacts, 64% said yes. And this really reinforces the concept that the TLD manager is the entity responsible for entries in the IANA. They want to make sure that there's a streamlined process, so real-time updating is possible. With regards to updating automated updates for administrative tasks, 62% said yes, there should be an automated interface for that. And to be fair, IANA staff are aware of the community's desire to have an automated interface, and I believe they are working quite hard to facilitate that, and we'll be looking at issuing credentials to bring that into being. Interestingly, the question with respect to should there be a fully automated interface for updating the registry manager or sponsoring organization, there was quite a significant change in opinion. The answer is no to that, in that there should be staff involvement or human involvement in change of registry manager. And what has subsequently been identified is that there should be some checks undertaken to ensure that the new operator is technically competent rather than just being a designated party. So there might be some objective technical requirement tests undertaken on any reassignment. So it does need to have human involvement. Question 14 to 16 were open answers, free text box, and I would urge anyone that's interested in the survey to have a look at the raw data, because it is also quite revealing and reinforces many of the statistics that have been gathered. But it's quite an interesting read if you're trying to find out what CCs were thinking. I'm not going to capture it on this call, but I would urge you to take a look at the free text comments yourself. Now we move on to the Frankfurt meeting, and the meeting occurred in Frankfurt last week. It was on Wednesday and Thursday of last week, the 19th and 20th from memory. Was fairly well attended by a broad spectrum of the community. That link actually refers to the chair's report, which is quite a positive message with respect to the outcomes. So the cross-community working group composition. Of the 119 members and participants, there are 41 countries represented, 38 from Asia Asia-Pacific region, 34 from Europe, 26 from North America, 11 from Latin America, and 10 from Africa. And then with regards to their affiliation, 40 have no affiliation, 27 are from the GNSO, 18 are from the CCNSO or CCTLD registry managers, 17 are from the at-large, 15 are from the GAC, and 2 are from the ESSAC. In addition, there are 6 members who participate in the the coordinating group, who also participate in the cross-community working group. So what were the outcomes of the Frankfurt meeting? Nothing is written in stone, as mentioned, and I really want to emphasize Keith's question with respect to functional separation. There was a strong call for functional separation, but not structural separation. And that was respected and upheld, I think, in the meeting that occurred in Frankfurt. So I'm just going to run through this in order, which is the Customer Standing Committee. Now, it was envisaged that this would be a small committee of IANA customers and customers alone who would periodically review the reports and transactional activity that the IANA undertakes. Many of us are aware today that the IANA does produce monthly reports, and many of us do review those reports. And the idea was that there was a small group who would periodically review those reports, make sure they were published, that's the first issue, but make sure that the SLAs were being met. If there was a problem, in other words, the report had not been produced, the monthly report had not been produced, or the SLAs were not being met, then the standing committee would make that known to the broader community. Then the concept was to have a separate group periodically reviewing that the SLAs and the thresholds that IANA had to live up to were applicable and appropriate. Obviously, as time moves on, our requirements change, and it may be appropriate to change the SLA. And so that group would be convened as and when necessary to ensure that the conditions that IANA was working to were relevant and applicable for the user community's needs at that time. Then there was the thorny issue of the contracting entity. And this is quite a challenge. In the room, there was an opinion that it wouldn't be necessary to have an incorporated body that would be a contracting party with the IANA operator. At the moment, the NTIA serve as the contracting authority. Then it was considered that an unincorporated body could be difficult in that there could be liability issues. And so no one would wish to be a member of an unincorporated body. And so then the concept was to have an incorporated body. The issue then of which legal jurisdiction is the incorporated body incorporated in, because it could be that the body is potentially sued by a disgruntled party or just sued because their names were not, their TLD was not placed in the IANA. And so this is very much an open question. And so the view was held that a lightweight body that could enter into a contract with ICANN for IANA services could be useful. It was lightweight because that was its only function. And the idea was that it didn't have staff. It was literally just an an entity, either incorporated or unincorporated, that had the legal wherewithal to issue a contract relating to the IANA service. How would it be accountable, or how would the mechanism work? Well, that's where the periodical review team would step in that they would define the content of the contract. Because the contracting entity doesn't have staff, doesn't have the capability to do it, and it was only just an entity for fulfilling a legal process. Then the question was raised, if the naming community were to create this entity, whether it's incorporated or not, as I mentioned, that's an open question, how would that interact with the other IANA services, namely the numbers and the protocols side? And so there was an intent just to ask the numbers and the protocols side of the IANA how they intend to move things forward. The numbers group is interesting in that there is an entity, the NRO, has an MOU with ICANN to fulfill the function, and there's an association between the regional registries. Obviously, with the CCTLD community being 250-odd individual organizations, and the GTLDs being X thousand entities, it becomes more of a challenge than the numbers group that is smaller number, five tops. So this is where we got to. There has been no consensus on this issue, and certainly it would be good if you have particular comments to bring them to our attention, because we would welcome some input. Then what happens if things go wrong? The idea was to have an appeals process. And as the survey highlighted, there was strong demand from the CC community for a binding appeals process. And so who would operate that binding appeals process? And we were discussing it could be operated potentially by, or under international law, or more accurately, under the International Chamber of Commerce, who have proven arbitration procedures, which the business community find useful. But the issue was how, or the scope of the appeals process. And so the intent was to limit the appeals process to whether IANA had followed the policies relating to the IANA functions contract. It wasn't of a more general nature. So it was trying to limit the scope of the appeal to abuse by IANA of its position, rather than an appeals process for the policy itself. The idea there was, should something go to a binding appeals mechanism, there could be a standing committee in with respect to that. But again, all of these issues are very much in the air moving forward. So what is scheduled to happen next? So the group has been broken down into subgroups. The report is being written in multiple sections. Section 1 and 2 are historical, how things happened in the past. Section 3 is how things should happen or could happen in the future. And I would urge all CC managers to be involved in the drafting of Section 3, because it is the important section. And that Section 3 has a number of subgroups, And one can pick the area of interest or area of competency. But the concept is the Section 3 is available in draft form, and if anyone would like oversight of that, I can gladly provide the URL references. The intent then is to publish on the 1st of December the draft proposal. It's an optimistic timeline, and that's why I emphasize the word draft. It is a living document and is likely to change. Then there will be a 21-day public comment period on that draft. It is intended that there will be a number of webinars. Currently the number is 3. It might increase to present the draft proposal. And then the intent is to submit the draft proposal on the 19th of January to the coordinating group for final review, and then the final copy goes to the coordinating group on the 31st of January next year. So it's a very tight timeline. So I urge you all to get involved if you're interested in this. We, as the CC reps, welcome your comments. If you have any concerns or further questions, do by all means contact us offline. But I'm opening the floor to any questions that anyone has. Once again, if you wish to raise a question, please raise your hand and make sure your microphone is on. You can raise your hand by going to the top of the screen and checking the down arrow there. Peter.
Hi, Paul. Good morning. Hi, everyone. Paul, I had a question on the success of outreach to the non, let's call them non-affiliated CCTLDs. And I know you provide access to the CC to the detailed survey. But from the top of your head, do you know if any of those CCTLDs that we never were able to reach out to, if they have answered the survey?
The specific answer is I don't know which CCs that you have that the regional organizations have reached out to. What we have done is we have listed on the site IANASO.org. If you look at the detailed results, you can see it broken down into different groups. You have all respondents, you have CCNSO members, you have non-CCNSO members, center, LAC, TLD, AFTLD, and the proposal is also now to have the Caribbean region. So Caribbean regions on the whole are associated with LAC TLD. They have asked that their statistics be made available as a Caribbean region. So to answer your specific question, I'm not sure of the precise number of TLDs that are not affiliated either with a regional organization or with the CCNSO, but the information is available on the website for those that look at more data. And I urge you, if you're interested, to take a look.
Okay, thanks. I see the CCTLDs now. I'll work with the other regional organizations to make sure that we have an overview of this. It could be interesting. I think I see a few in there. No European ones, but maybe from the other regions. Thanks.
Great. That was wonderful. Certainly the Caribbean. I think we had 3 or 4 from the Caribbean, and that was very good. And one of the reasons for them wanting to have a Caribbean-specific breakdown of the survey was really to try and get a community build in the Caribbean region. But I want to emphasize that they are affiliated with LAC TLD organization. Jorg has just mentioned access to, or mention of the strawman. So the way this section 3 is being worked through is we've tried, or the Secretariat have tried to come up with a mechanism that identifies the key themes and identifies how best those themes can be incorporated into a particular structure. And what was very interesting is, although there were initially four, almost five, strawman proposals, not one of them seemed to be applicable in all the attributes that were associated with it. And so on the first day of the meeting, it was decided we would review the various strawman proposals and then extract those elements that worked best for our respective communities and then try and find some synergy between the respective groups. What was very clear is the requirements of CC TLD registries is very different from the GTLD registries. The CCs are quite organized, as Peter mentioned 2 seconds ago. We have the regional organization network, which is there as a forum for regional information exchange. The GTLDs do not have that sort of mechanism. The only mechanism they have is the ICANN forum. So we have regional organizations which are in addition to the ICANN and indeed in addition to the regional bodies that periodically meet. So we are very different. So the strawman proposals were really interesting to get the debate moving, but it transpired that none of the proposals in their entirety were valid, but there are attributes from each proposal that are likely to emerge in the final version. So I see Keith Davidson. Keith.
Thank you, Paul, and thank you, Paul, and the great progress. I thought things were moving along far more quickly than I had anticipated, and you're to be congratulated for what's been happening. And also the survey. I think the survey has been a very interesting exercise, and it does give us a lot more comfort that we're doing the right things, both in the Aotearoa Transition Group and the cross-community group. I've got a number of questions, but I won't hog the floor at all, so I'll just ask the most important one in my mind, and then if there's no further questions, I'll come back with some other questions later. You mentioned the independent appeals mechanism that it applies to the policies only as an appeals mechanism. How is the cross-community working group addressing the issues of delegations and redelegations and the requirement for an independent appeals mechanism as specified in RSE 1591?
So I don't think the intent of the appeals mechanism was related to specific reassignment, redelegation of CCTLDs. I think the appeals mechanism was more one of making sure that the IANA contractor did not abuse their position or did not interpret a policy in a certain way to the detriment of a CC. So I don't think the appeals mechanism related to the reassignment of a CCTLD. That would be held outside of this structure. This was very tied into just doing the IANA functions contract and the performance that the IANA contractor had to live up to.
Just a follow-on from that then, the IANA contract as it currently stands has clauses in it which relate to the evaluation and decision-making relating to delegations and relationships with CCTLDs, and currently the ICANN board performs the function of deciding arbitrarily the outcome of a delegation or re-delegation decision, and there is no appeals mechanism whatsoever. Given that RFC 1591 requires that mechanism, I'm a little bit concerned that if we don't address it in the proposal, there could be a the opportunity could be lost to ever be able to have that appeals mechanism in place. So while it's probably not easy to develop something that would be robust enough in the time plan available, I still think it's important that we address the issue in the proposal.
Okay, I appreciate that, and I've made a note of that. So just, I see on the chat room some people are asking to highlight the question and what the issue is. So the question relates to the proposed appeal mechanism currently does not accommodate the thorny issue of delegation and redelegation. 1591 does reference the ability for an appeals mechanism, and NTIA in their contract apparently has the ability to act as an appeals broker. Currently, the policy that ICANN have adopted is one where they, the board, make a determination. Obviously, for those CCs that, quote, are independent, unquote, they would prefer that it were not the ICANN board, but it were a court in competent jurisdiction that was the ultimate authority. But I think the point that is being raised is that, and which is a valid one, we need to investigate as CWG representatives how and if there should be an appeals mechanism built in to this particular aspect of the IANA contract with respect to transition. So I've made a note, and I will certainly discuss that with colleagues, and we will place something on the lists to solicit input from the CWG participants. So thank you very much for Keith for that. Any other questions, please? So Keith, you mentioned you might have other questions. Feel free to ask them. And just chat room, if I may. Sorry, I've just seen George has basically said IANA doesn't deal with policy decisions, neither should the review panel. So I think that sort of does capture where the Frankfurt participants were really focused. We were focused very much on the appeals mechanism for IANA performance or IANA not interpreting current policy. So it's very much relating to the operational contract. But I do take on board your comment, Keith, that we do need to possibly consider having an appeals mechanism over and above the ICANN board making a determination with respect to CC reassignments. Next question, Keith.
Look, I've just posted in the chat the comment from the IANA contract itself, C2.9.2.C, which refers to the delegation and redelegation issues. So I would take issue with Jorg and yourself in terms of whether or not this is covered. It is part of the IANA contract now. It is a decision-making process. There is a requirement under 1591 for an appeals mechanism. So I would urge you to have a look at the words that I've just inserted there. Anyway, look, I think that's something that we might address in more detail, and the purpose of this webinar is probably not to get to that level of detail, but I would urge you to have a think about this, and I'm happy to talk about it.
We've made a note, and certainly I will be raising it later today with my colleagues, and yes, you've made a very, very good point, and I'm very grateful for the specific reference, Keith. Thank you. Okay.
Now, a couple of other things that are less, well, they're certainly not trivial, but not on this topic. One is the question about a fully automated end-to-end update process for IANA changes. I was interested to see that there were a lot of CCTLDs who were in the survey who were quite assertive that they wanted this as a function, and I find that quite worrying given the number of errors from CCTLDs that are propagated when they want changes through IANA that are finally picked up by VeriSign when they're doing the final checks before introducing changes into the root zone. So perhaps that's another thing that some request for information from VeriSign as to the number of errors that have started from the CCTLD operator, have propagated through IANA and NTIA, and have come through for change at the root, but are still errors. Understood how high that error rate was, we might want to review our position.
So just on that specific point, the automated point, if one breaks the CC community down into, let's say, two segments, there are those that welcome having the automated update function, and there are those that prefer the mechanism as exists today. And to give specific numbers, the indications are about 50 CCs would be looking for full end-to-end automation, which means there are 200 that would like the current operation to remain in place. For those that participate in the fully automated service, you are quite right. There needs to be checks, automated checks, to make sure that the request being undertaken is effective and accurate. So effectively, what is proposed, the checks that VeriSign are currently doing, which are incidentally an automated check that they do, will be available through the IANA service to ensure that any registry that's participating in the automated update function are making accurate changes. For those that are not as comfortable with the automated mechanism, then the current system remains in place. And the IANA are very kindly making the differential available. So it's an opt-in to a fully automated mechanism for those that want it, rather than the IANA changes from where it is today for everyone requiring or everyone being mandated to have the fully automated interface. So the differential has already been made, and I hope that will allay some of your concerns. But you are right. VeriSign do make checks after it's been through the IANA, quote, checking process. And you are right. In some instances, additional problems are found. What is being advocated is that the checks that VeriSign are doing are placed at the IANA interface so that there is a full set of checks that are completed. I hope that allays some of your concern.
Okay, it's just IANA purports to currently be a house of expertise, and the fact that many errors go past them without them detecting it is a little worrying.
Yeah, no, I've got it. IANA staff are doing a really good job at recognizing their weaknesses, and making sure that they address the community's needs. And one of those has been to make sure that the checking mechanism, the automated checking mechanism, is in place for those TLDs that want to have that function. VeriSign will still be there publishing the route. It's not intended at this point that VeriSign's role disappears. So VeriSign can still do the checks as they do today and identify any major issues. It's just proposed for those TLDs that are using the automated interface, they get real-time updates should there be a problem. But I think those that are electing for the automated interface will actually be undertaking the checks themselves.
Okay. And a last question on a different subject, since no one else has got their hand up at the moment. Under the process that the IANA transition has in front of it, there was the option for the NAMES community to produce one or two proposals, either one jointly or one each from the CCTLD and the GTLD communities. After Frankfurt, how do you and Jorg and others feel in terms of are we being pushed around by the GTLD community? Is there a chance that we can do a joint proposal without any major problems, or should we be thinking about doing our own individual proposals? You know, just your current feeling on that, that'd be quite interesting.
Well, I see a number of colleagues who were in Frankfurt are on this call. My gut feeling was Frankfurt was quite a productive meeting. It was the first time, certainly I had met the vast majority, having been out of the ICANN world for a significant number of years, the first time I had met a number of colleagues that participate in this group. We didn't get down to granular detail of how things should work out. And so the reality is, it is too early to say if there should be different models for different parts of the community. At the high level we were discussing issues, there was a lot of synergy. If and when we come down to the granular detail, it is possible, probably quite highly possible, that we will need to address the GTLD market differently from the way in which the CC market is addressed. But at the Frankfurt meeting was very high level, and it was focused on identifying the synergies between what IANA currently does with respect, or what NTIA currently does with respect to the IANA contract, and going from there. But it could be, as you rightly indicate, it could be there are a number of proposals or sub-proposals coming forward to make sure the needs of the community are adequately addressed. But I did see Peter's hand, and please feel free, Peter, to contribute there.
Thank you, Paul. I think that's a really good question, Keith. In terms of being pushed around, I would not say that the CCTLDs have been pushed around by the GTLDs or that the GTLDs were even trying to do that. In terms of where I would see potential conflicts in the future is frankly not with the GTLDs. I think the GTLDs, their approach is trying to be as efficient as possible, making sure that politics do not come into play at IANA. They want an efficient IANA to currently continue a good job. There is some discussion, and that is more, you will find both sides in each group, whether there needs to be an RFP now or later. But I don't see a fundamental issue with the GTLDs. However, with ADAC and the GAC representatives, I think that there will be much more, there will be problems that will be much harder to reconcile both positions. The GAC has already identified some issues. I'm personally quite worried about their reference to public policy in different aspects of just functional technical IANA implementation. And for ALAC, they have. I realize I make one mistake. I mean, Milton Mueller was not at the meeting in Frankfurt, but I keep on qualifying him as ALAC, where obviously he's there part of the G group. Obviously he has a very strong opinion, and he seems to threaten everybody who does not agree with it that there will be no joint wide community-based position at the end of this work, so that in the end we'll be empty-handed if people do not agree with some of the positions he takes. So, summarizing and to answer your question, I don't see a problem with the GTLDs. I do see a problem with the GAC, and there might be a problem with Hilton Muller and part of ALAC.
So actually, Peter raises a very good point with respect to the GAC. The GAC were well represented at the Frankfurt meeting. And what's interesting is their suggestions of language, particularly relating to the principles, is possibly having the potential to change the role that the GAC has, or sometimes the role governments have with respect to their, quote, their CCTLD. When they were advised that the CCTLD is not the property of the government, one could, which is held by the CC community and also by ICANN legal counsel, the body language from one GAC representative certainly stiffened. And there is, following the Frankfurt meeting, there have been ongoing discussions with respect to the role of, quote, the national government with respect to, quote, the national CCTLD. So some may be wanting to use this process as a power grab. The evidence to date is that ICANN is not trying to see this as a power grab or an authority grab. They are very much focused on service delivery. Certainly the GAC are looking to try and put a marker down which could have the potential later down the road to make life difficult. That said, the CCs have not agreed to the proposed wording, nor, I think, will we agree to the proposed wording, which, if I can find it quickly, it's just not acceptable, full stop. I don't know how I can send to the list. But anyway, rest assured, we are fighting hard for the interests of CCs. And I agree with Peter. At the moment, the GTLDs there's no issue with the GTLDs. But it could be, future tense, it could be that we do have two proposals going forward, one from the GTLDs, one from the CCTLDs. But at the moment, we haven't got into that granular detail. So are there any other questions? We have 4 minutes remaining on this webinar. Any other questions? Please raise your hand. So all of the slides will be available. They're going to be uploaded by the staff to the website, and if you have any questions that you think of after this webinar, do feel free to contact any of the CWG reps, and I would like to thank you all very much for participating, and if I see no further questions, which I don't, I would like to close this call at 6:57 UTC. Thank you, everyone, and have a good day. All the best. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Thank you, Paul.